Lord Jesus, without the gift of your Spirit, we cannot come in worship to the Father. Grant us the wisdom to know your voice and hear your call, that we may live lives of worship and praise in honour of your name. Amen. I wonder if you are someone who does or used to enjoy a ride on a roller coaster. Are you the first to join the queue, or are you the first to volunteer to look after everyone else's bags? Are you really pleased that one of the children doesn't quite meet the height requirement to go on the scariest rides and someone responsible needs to stay with them? We sometimes talk about our emotions as being like on a roller coaster ride. And in the book of Psalms, and over these past few weeks, as we've looked at a few Psalms through this summertime, we've seen that roller coaster of experience and emotion. The joys and the praises of lives in relationship with God, the joy of worship with his people, as well as the troubles of life and evil at work in the world. Today we're going to see how important it is to have the right approach in coming to God. I'm not going to suggest that there is any magic formula, or just a new way of praying, or a new song, or a new way of arriving at church will make sure that you are right. But we'll see that the right approach is one that actually trusts in God and builds on relationship with him as the foundation. We can journey with this psalm, Psalm 5, with David, hear his confidence in the faithfulness of God, and hear the stark difference of the life lived in relationship with God and the life lived in rebellion. So do, if you've closed it or if you haven't opened it, open up Psalm 5. It's on page 544 of the Church Bibles. These words more likely became a regular part of the worshipping life of the people of Israel. And the individual sense of David's words here can fill out a community of faith's understanding. There is challenge here as we think about preparing to meet God, but there's also assurance and love. The good news of the gospel is wonderfully included in this psalm. We're called to consider it carefully, our approach to God and to our relationship with him. The prayers of our hearts, the cries of our hearts can vary in terms of words and feelings and actions. There may be times when we feel really able to voice what concerns us, and then times where we want to celebrate. There are other times when we cannot find the words ourselves. This psalm says that any one of those situations, however you are feeling this morning, is not a problem for God. David is perfectly happy asking God to listen to his words, but also to consider his sighing. We're encouraged to be real with God, to bring before him those times when words are not enough, or perhaps words are too hard. And as we see David's prayer, we see that his approach to God is not coming with a list of ultimatums to God when all other avenues have been exhausted. Rather, it's an ongoing part of a relationship with him. He is confident of the direction of his prayers. He knows who it is who hears him. See the movement immediately from listen to my words, hear my cry, to you I pray. You hear my voice in the very next verse. It's because of that relationship that David enjoys with God that he is confident that God will hear him and answer him. He's not just speaking to a God somewhere or another king, someone with power. But he speaks of my God and my King, the one he knows and the one he is known by. It is almost like God is listing out for David's cry, in the way that those of you with children or grandchildren know that even in a crowded room of noisy children, the voice of your own cuts through the air. When David awakes, he is grateful for the life God has given him and enters into his presence. He brings his requests before the Lord, and this is key. He then expects an answer. Now, there are some people in life who are very, very organized about their correspondence. You'll find everything arranged perfectly in alphabetical order in a filing cabinet. Their email inbox will have lots of folders, and everything will be all very, very neat. And you know, if you send something to them, you'll quickly get a reply. It may be even to just say, yes, I've had it, and then you'll get the actual full reply. Sometimes we just write and hope. Here there is no promise of when an answer will come, but David's expectation is that there will be an answer to his prayer. Then in verse 4, there is a seismic shift. No longer are we with David in the presence of God, enjoying the goodness and joy of relationship with God. We are very much at the other extreme. We are reminded of the life lived in rebellion against God and against his ways. The evildoers, the wicked, the liars, the bloodthirsty, the deceitful, who cannot approach God. Evil is not just something that God finds a little bit offensive, troubling. The words used here in this psalm are strong. The differences are stark. There is no room in the presence of God for those who ignore his rule. Those who are confident in their own strength, those who do not speak the truth, they can find no way of approaching God. As David speaks out these words, he's also conscious of his own life. It does not necessarily follow that after the evildoers are barred from God's presence, that the psalmist will be allowed entry because of their goodness. We're clearly told of the way in which the psalmist can approach God. If you look down at verse 7 and 8. It is by the mercy of God, verse 7, and through the righteousness of God, verse 8. Those things that are God's, that are ours, received as a gift as we come to God in faith. This next section really speaks of the right approach to God. Hear that amazing contrast between the action of those who are in rebellion against God versus David's freedom. He, because of God's mercy, is able to enter God's house. Now, this is something we need to hear. It's not because of David's good works. It's not because he was a powerful person. It's not because he had a crown to wear that he is invited in to God's presence. He comes because of his dependence on the blood shed for his sin, the blood of the lambs in the temple, gloriously looking forward to the saving blood of Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. As we come to communion later in our service, hear the sacraments speak to us that whilst we are unworthy, we are welcome. We receive not because of any goodness of our own, but because of those twins called grace and mercy. The holy love of God reaches out to us and calls us near, demands our obedience, and carries us forward in our journey of faith. The only way to enter into this way of worship, this life of relationship with God, is through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. In our service at 11 o'clock, we're going to be thinking of a verse from Acts chapter 4, where Peter declares that salvation is found in no other place. name. No other name is given by which mankind will be saved. It's the name of Jesus. No other philosophy, no other religion, no other good works. Jesus. And as David enters a holy moment, he is affected profoundly. He bows in acknowledgement of the awesome majesty of the presence of God. He asks to be led by the Lord and includes that curious phrase in verse 8, because of my enemies. This may mean that because David's words and actions are public, they act as a warning to those who do not follow the Lord. His very life can be speaking of God's goodness and draw others onto the right path. David then once again turns his attention to the wicked and focuses on the evil of their speech, of their words. The Lord knows the voice of David. The Lord and David can recognize evil speech. Verse 9, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. The opposite way of the God of truth is to speak falsehood. The opposite way to the God who desires that none should perish is to have a heart of destruction. As we hear these words describing evildoers and their deeds, we must check ourselves against this startling description. Are we people of the truth? Do we gossip? Do we share? The Welsh band The Stereophonics, in their song A Thousand Trees, comments on the way in which gossip flows around a Welsh Valleys community with these words. Standing at the bus stop with my shopping in my hands, I'm overhearing elder ladies as the rumours start to fly. You can hear them in the schoolyard, in the scrapyard, in the chip shop, in the phone box, in the pool hall, at the shoe store. It only takes one tree to make 1,000 matches, and it only takes one match to burn 1,000 trees. The power of speech is something that we're reminded of again and again in Scripture, and in this psalm, David makes clear why what we say matters. As Jesus says in the Gospels in both Luke and Matthew, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the evil and the hatred of those who rebel against God, David closes the psalm by speaking of the assurance and protection for those who are in relationship with God. The overflow of the hearts, the overflow of the hearts of the evildoer is lies. The overflow of the hearts of those who love the Lord is singing. Look down at verse 11. It is praise. Let them ever sing for joy. It is perhaps that David imagines a bird that gathers the young under their wings and protects. The Lord surrounds his people with love and favor like a shield in verse 12. As we looked at these words together today, I hope we've seen how these words written hundreds of years ago can shape, challenge, and encourage our relationship with God today. Because surely we are called to speak honestly with God, both with words and to come to him even when we have no words. To be mindful of the stark difference between a life lived for God and a life lived in rebellion. Called to approach God, conscious of his mercy and grace, as worshippers in spirit and in truth. Called to guard our speech and speak truth, and to rest in the knowledge of his love and protection. So let us, with confidence, approach God by the blood of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, we cry to you for the times we have ignored your love, your listening ear, your ways, and your acceptance. Inspire us to live for your glory and declare and explain the saving power of the cross to our world. Amen.